It would seem odd to think of Jesus for a Father's Day sermon in one sense. He was never married. He never had kids. But of course, he is the example of a good man. He's the ultimate example for how men should live. So in some ways, that does tell us how fathers should be. One thing about him, it says in John 10 that he knew each of his sheep by name. Let's call this attention to each individual person, not just all one group, not just a list of names and numbers. Here are some phrases in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it says, "To him the door opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name." John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Jesus cares about each one of us, every single person separately, one by one. People who are like Jesus care about each individual person in need and in need of help. What would be the opposite of that? Cold, indifferent, impersonal, aloof. It seems to me that our society is becoming more and more that way. People are just masses. They're just numbers. They usually are customers and sources of money. But anything, they're at any list, they're followers. You know, they're there to, quote, shine the shoes. They're there to exalt us. Paperwork, again, is more important than paperwork, although that might need to be updated and say that paperwork is more important than just adding in information to a computer. So to the Lord Jesus Christ, people were very, very important. I have a book in my file, say, Crowded Pews, Lonely People. Great big churches full. But sometimes nobody knows each other's names. They're not very friendly. I think I can get away with saying it without identifying a person. But when I was in seminary in the old days in a large metropolitan area, one of our teachers did not know our names at the end of a semester. 15 people in the class, he did not know their names. Now, over the last 40 years, he's become very well known for ministry. He has a ministry to those with AIDS who are suffering. So he did change. But there is a big difference between being impersonal and cold and not caring about any one individual. The Lord Jesus Christ cared about each individual. Applied to a fatherhood, my dad would spend at least a half hour to 45 minutes a day with each of his two sons. We mostly played baseball and played catch with dad and went fishing with dad, but he spent time with us as individuals. That is how we should live. Next, Jesus did not compromise the truth to get approval. That story is shown in John chapter 3, where he had a talk with Nicodemus. Now, today's lesson is not to cover all of the conversation with Nicodemus and to give all of the details, but to say that Nicodemus was powerful. He knew all the right people. He could open the doors. He could take Jesus' places. And yet, in his conversation, Jesus almost immediately says, "You're mistaken. You're wrong." He does it indirectly, and that shows his character trait to give the truth and not compromise, worrying less about acceptance, worrying more that people get the truth and therefore get helped. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. In our time, we would say he's like a senator. The Sanhedrin had 70 people in it, following the elders who followed Moses at 70. And in addition to that, in verse 10, Jesus said, "Are you not the teacher of the Jews?" In other words, he was noted for being the scholar, the theologian. So Nicodemus had high position, and yet Jesus almost immediately told him he needed a little bit more, and he had made some mistakes. You must be born again. Again is probably the correct translation, but it also means born from above. You must be born again, have spiritual life. Later he will say to trust in him, in Jesus as Savior. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but Nicodemus was mistaken and had to be born again. So right away he tells him he has to be born again. And Jesus gave the truth to him and did not compromise to get his approval. So he says that, how can you be the teacher of the Jews and not know this? So he told him he was wrong. He told him he needed something else. He told him he had a mistake. Now, how to apply this to kids? Well, sometimes we have to teach the truth to kids and not really worry whether they're going to approve it or not. We do not want to be like King David, who raised some spoiled rot princes. 1 Kings 1:6, his father never crossed them at any time by asking them, "Why have you done so?" Well, Jesus was telling Nicodemus he made some mistakes and not worrying about his approval. So in his character traits, number one, he knew each person by name and spent individual attention to them. Number two, he did not compromise the truth to get approval. Number three, Jesus started out being gentle. Could he get rough? Yeah, he could get rough. We'll give some illustrations about how he could get rough, but he started out gentle. Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Matthew 12:17 and following, "This was to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold my servant whom I have chosen, he will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street.'" He wouldn't start out by yelling and telling everybody how bad they are. He wouldn't start out that way. He started out gentle. Sometimes the Bible uses the word not quarrelsome, not a brawler. Apostle Paul liked to use that. The Lord Jesus Christ started out gentle. As to fatherhood, that would mean we start out being very gentle. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ would get rough. He could get rough in the category of those that were leading other people into harm. And in fatherhood, what that would mean is be gentle with the kids, but if anybody tries to harm them, then get rough. Get as rough as we need to be to protect the kids. But on the other hand, to start out gentle, to prefer gentleness. Ephesians 4:5, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. No compromise with the children as to what is right and wrong, but speaking it with love and starting it out very, very gentle. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Timothy was shown salvation from the scriptures from childhood. 2 Timothy 3:15. Moses in Deuteronomy 6. 4-9, to teach them diligently to your children when you lie down, when you rise up, when you go in, when you go out. A lot of fatherhood is on the positive side with teaching, and I would say positive reinforcement, telling them what they did was right. Now, discipline is part of it, particularly for things that are dangerous. Don't put your hand in the lawnmower. Don't get into the medicine cabinet to stop being dangerous. I would say also stopping things in the Ten Commandments, like don't lie, don't steal. They're not likely to kill, but we could say don't even hit your other brothers and sisters. But lots of positive reinforcement, lots of gentleness, and trying not to make them mad needlessly. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. Starting out gentle, getting rough mainly on the people trying to harm the kids. I come from a Dutch family, and I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, we were about 3 in discipline, and we were mostly spoiled. Starting out gentle. Jesus also knew the difference between God's word and human traditions. I think that's the way to raise kids, too. This is what the Bible teaches. This may be our preference, but the Bible doesn't necessarily require it. In Luke 14, 1 through 6, there was a man with dropsy. We would say water retention. We would say he had swollen hands and feet, trouble walking. And the issue in Luke 14 was whether he could be healed on the Sabbath or not. Jesus' familiar illustration was it was all right to take an ox out of a ditch on Sabbath. But in Luke 14, he also talks about children. He said, if your son is down in a well, you get him out on a Saturday. And that's not breaking God's commandment. So he knew the difference between tradition and what the Bible actually says was right and wrong. More concerned about helping people than keeping human traditions. I think that's a good way to raise kids. I think Westcliff Bible Church is pretty good about avoiding legalism. That when the Bible teaches something, we do have to obey it because it's chapter and verse. That's very clear and repeated teaching. And no room for disagreement. And yet there are other things which are kind of like personal preference. A person could do it. A family can do it. But it's not really in the Bible. And I think that's the best way to raise the kids. Our family might do this. Others don't have to. But when the Bible does teach something, then we have to. Number 5, Jesus is our example of work ethics. He worked and took care of people even when he was exhausted, even when he was tired. A very good story of this is in Mark chapter 6. We won't read all of Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. But like a good man, he fulfilled his duty even when he was tired and at an inconvenient time. In Mark 6, it working towards the feeding of the 5,000. In Mark 6:31, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Many were coming and going. He did not even have time to eat. So Jesus would have agreed with time off. He would have agreed with rest. He would have agreed with a vacation. And that's a room for any husband or father. Psalm 127, is vain for you to get up early and stay up late and eat the bread of afflictions he gives to his beloved even in their sleep. So Mark chapter 6 does talk about there's time of limitations, there's time to rest. On the other hand, when Jesus went around the lake, the people on the shore were following, and they were waiting for him when they got there. And it was a situation of real need, not a situation of spoiling them. Jesus felt compassion on them. Here's to quote Mark 6, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So in the other story, Jesus was worn out sleeping in the back of the boat. Here he was not sleeping, but he was all exhausted and was trying to get away. And yet, when people had needs, he did his duty, even though it was inconvenient, even though he was very, very tired. Jesus was not a father, but he is a model of a good man applied to a family. Fathers must have care for the little sheep. I do agree there's such a thing as spoiling them and maybe too much, and dad needs to rest. On the other hand, there are times when they have needs and it's inconvenient and one is exhausted. Well, Jesus shows us to take care of them anyway. To Jesus, self-interest was below the needs of others. And even though he was very, very exhausted, he would take care of them. Another thing we see about Jesus is he held no grudges. he would get over the grudges and entrust his soul to God for safekeeping. Here's 1 Peter 2:23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Another example of that is Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did not hold grudges when wrong. When an injustice could not be solved, he just committed the problem to God and thought that God in eternity will make all things right. Applied to, say, husbands and fathers, good men do not spend all their energy trying to fix everything and trying to make everything right. It is true in Matthew 18, we can go to a person in private if something is too big to just cover a multitude of sins. We can go in private. We can take two or three other people as a witness that we've tried to reconcile. But in the end, we might have to just let stuff go and put them in the tax collector category. Now, the tax collector category doesn't mean we hate them, but it might mean we don't have to be around them any more than needed. So sometimes when we can't just fix everything, we have to just entrust our soul to God. How will that apply to raising kids? Well, raising kids would mean we take care of them first, and we don't spend our entire life trying to get even. We don't spend our entire energy trying to fix everything. We do what we can about it, but then we entrust it to God the Father, and we go ahead and take care of the family first. I'll review all seven ways in which Jesus was a good man in a moment. The last one would be in John 6:38 and the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:39. And his way of saying it is he wanted to do God's will. We could say it a more modern way. He always tried to do what is right. Here's John 6:38. For I have not come down to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus never sinned. None of us can achieve that level of wanting to do what is right. But we can have that as an ideal. We can have that as an inner drive to do what is right. It helps to have that conviction ahead of time, ahead of any temptation. It helps to have that type of conviction when we're raising a family that we are going to look for what is right, and we are going to try to do what is right every time, an obligation of doing the Bible commandments. Jesus was that way. He fulfilled it totally. We cannot, but we can come closer. We can make progress. So we can look at the Lord Jesus Christ as an example for everybody, women and men, but he was a very good man. And we can think of him and apply his character traits to being a father for Father's Day. Number one, to review, he cares for each individual person. He knew each of his sheep by name, and we should care and give time to each individual child. He would tell the truth without compromise and not worry whether they get approval. And we might have to do that with kids some of the time. Just teach them what is true. Teach them what is right, and hope that they accept it. But if for now they don't, we still have to do what's safest for them and teach them what is true and teach them what is right. Jesus started out being gentle. I think fatherhood should start out being gentle. Now, if anybody tries to harm the kids, we can get rough. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but people leading others astray, he would get very, very rough on them, starting out gentle, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Fourth, Jesus knew the difference between God's word and chapter and verse and personal preference, human traditions. I think that's what ought to be taught children. This is what the Bible says. This is what we prefer to do, and we think we'll do it. Number five, when Jesus was very tired, and he did take care of his sheep. And when we're very tired, we do need to take care of the children. even working overtime, even working to exhaustion. Number six, Jesus entrusted all the unfairness in life to his Father, and therefore the people around him did not see his frustration. And fathers can spend some time trying to fix things, but after a while, we give it over to God and take care of the kids and do not let all of the wrongs in life divert from that. Finally, Jesus wanted to do God's will, or in modern way, he wanted to do what is right all the time. And that's what a good father is like. Jesus was not a father, but he was a good man. And he shows those of us who are fathers how we ought to behave and how we ought to treat our families and how we ought to treat our children. He shows us the best of a good father.